Professor Peter Lynham, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well,
so have you seen the story connecting the Unification Church with the assassination of Abe?
No, what I did hear was that the killer, some sort of connection, but I didn't quite understand it. Tell me about it, Peter. What's it all about?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is still, because the Japanese are awfully coy about giving us hard information, at the state of innuendo and suggestion. But the shooting, I think it was a shooting, wasn't it?
I saw it was a homemade gun.
A homemade gun, because you can't get guns in Japan.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And so he crept up behind, and it's very strange the Japanese should neglect to protect the rear. But it seems like it was some kind of revenge killing, because the gunman's mother had given large sums of money, 100 million yen,
right,
which is a huge sum of money, to the Unification Church. And the result was that the family ended up bankrupted in 2002. And so he missed out on all the things that he felt he was entitled to.
Oh, wow.
In Japan, going to a private university is enormously important, and he didn't get this. And so all the problems of his life would be blamed on the Unification Church.
Right.
But that still doesn't prove why on earth he should shoot Abe.
Yeah, what kind of connection did Abe have with the Unification Church?
Well, this is where things get a little bit murky, but do reveal to us quite a lot about the way in which the Liberal Party of Japan, which is a very conservative party, you understand.
Right.
And Abe has kept together a fairly precarious... He kept together this... it is a kind of a coalition, not in our Western sense. And he'd done it through expounding very, very conservative policies on the family. You know, there's no room for gay marriage in Japan, you can imagine. And,
oh, wow.
You know, it's a very, very traditional approach. And Abe had at one point spoken at a Unification Church rally on the family. Now, how much that was a real connection is pretty interesting, because the Unification Church, you know, is a Korean group that was founded by Mr. Sun Moon, an extraordinary name from our point of view, back in the early 50s. In 1954.
Right.
And this was for a period, you know, a huge, huge organization. He himself died in 2012, but the church has continued on. Rather, isn't as much attention to it as it used to be. Have you ever seen the pictures of the mass weddings that they used to hold?
Mass weddings?
Yeah, so there was a famous one, I think it was in New York, where I think 200 couples had a simultaneous wedding in Times Square.
This is
how I remember the event anyway. And because they had this enormous emphasis on the blessings of married life, and they also stood for ultra-conservative policy. And I think this is the connection for Abe. Abe liked to draw any kinds of links he could with religious groups. Now, Christianity, let alone the Moonies, are pretty small in Japan.
Right. What is the main religion in Japan?
Oh, well, so you have an interesting combination of the traditional Japanese religious tradition and Buddhism. And so the two match each other. So if I remember rightly, Buddhism for getting born?
Right.
And Shinto for being buried? Or is it the other way around? They're primarily rituals.
Yeah.
For a lot of Japanese people, I mean, religious attendants, you would go occasionally if you were worried about somebody to a Shinto shrine, and you would worship and bring devotion, or you might make a donation. But Japan's regarded often as one of the least religious countries of the world. because you know, though the religion is there, it's not important to ordinary Japanese life in any practical ways. You only get born and die once, I guess.
Right, right. I have a question. So you're saying the Unification Church is a Korean church, right?
Yes, indeed.
And
yes.
It started in the 1950s, you were saying?
Yes, 54.
Well, because didn't the Japanese ruled Korea during the 40s and 30s, did they not? And do you think maybe there's a lot of sort of animosity between Korean people and Japanese people about sort of that whole time period?
Yes, so that would add, I think you're right, that would add a dimension, wouldn't it, into the feeling of Japanese.
Yeah.
That was Abe being disloyal by in some way supporting the Unification Church.
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems hard for me to imagine that a man like Abe, who was grave in all that he did, you know, somber, respectable, would have ever linked up with a church with as weird arranged teachings as the Unification Church, because they do have a really bizarre attitude about the kind of ways in which the end of the world is going to come. And this wouldn't have appealed to Abe. But you see, the Unification Church has often had a lot of, well, how would we call them? They appear like almost bogus organizations for the well-being of families and for various other causes. And that people would subscribe to them or be encouraged to subscribe to these wordy things without realizing that they were getting connected with Unification Church following.
Yeah, true.
So they're quite famous. In the 1980s, they offered various scholarships to their phenomenal conferences, and lots of religious studies people went along for a free trip to another part of the world and gave a talk completely non-Unification Church, but to in a context of the Unification Church, and they were trying to buy support. And I think Abe must have got caught up in the same way.
Yeah, for sure. How do you think the people in Japan have been reacting to this sort of church tie-up with former Prime Minister Abe?
I think they're astonished.
Yeah.
Just astonished. Because at the time, from what I can read, what Abe did of speaking at this Unification Conference was regarded as pretty unacceptable, and he quickly pulled his head in.
Right.
And had nothing more to do with it. But the idea that this might inspire violence has troubled Japanese people hugely.
Yeah.
And they feel as though, you know, even their great leaders can have flaws in them.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I think that's part of the reaction, the horrified reaction that people have got. Just, you know, if we can't trust Abe to do the right thing, then who knows where this is going to end.
Because was he quite a popular prime minister in Japan, Abe?
Abe was a hugely popular figure. Remember that, you know, Japanese politics is unstable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that nobody ever commands a full majority in the House. The Liberal Party, as I said, is not a very tightly organized party, and there are endless factions.
Right.
Abe was one of the few people who was able to unite it. And there's a very particular style of Japanese politics where, in a way, platitudes are exchanged, but people come to be respected figures, and respect counts enormously in the Japanese way in which they do politics and the way in which they do so many aspects of Japanese life. And Abe seemed to be exactly perfect at that.
Wow.
So
quite a shock indeed. Quite a shock indeed.
The grief that's come around about this is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for that, Peter Lynham. It's been such a pleasure talking to you and finding out all the nitty-gritty about this crazy, crazy event that's happened. Something you wouldn't have thought about would be happening in Japan. But thank you so much for your time.
Very good. Okay.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.